This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, in the 6 months since October the 7th and the atrocity committed by Hamas, in which 1,200 Jewish people were slaughtered and another 250 were kidnapped and are held hostage or were held hostage, Ukraine and Russia, that conflict, which was the dominant conflict in our foreign news, has gone off the radar, but it's back now. Last week, after 6 months of messing around, the US Congress finally signed off on a bill from Joe Biden that gave in total $90 billion in foreign aid, $60 billion of it to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and the rest to Taiwan. And it means for Volodymyr Zelensky and Ukraine a lifeline when they were beginning to lose their morale and indeed lose on the battlefield, if not in a catastrophic way, certainly in a way that diminished them. It's a pleasure now to welcome back to the stand Dmitry Ilovsky. Dmitry is chief editor for the YouTube channel Kordakovsky.live. Before the war, he was deputy editor-in-chief for TV Rain in Moscow. He moved to Lithuania when the war began, and independent media outlets, including TV Rain, were closed down across Russia. In early November 2023, Dmitry was included in Putin's list of foreign agents. Welcome, Dmitry. We haven't spoken for a while. Since we last spoke, it would appear that there have been several developments. The morale on the Ukraine side was falling because the Americans were not inspired by Trump. A large section of the hard right in the Congress were blocking this deal. Now it's gone through. How much advantage did Putin's army gain in that period of time?
Oh, hello, Eamon, and thank you very much for having me. I'm really happy to be back and with you and with your audience. So basically, I think that morale of Ukrainian soldiers was always high. They just did lack the weapons, and it was quite serious for the events on the front line. But on the other hand, I'm not sure that Putin had an opportunity to use that time and to bring more power, to bring more soldiers or to bring more weapons on his side. Because we didn't see any drastic changes on the front line. Yes. We didn't see any big towns or cities conquered by Russian army since the beginning of war. But the period was pretty tough for Ukraine, though. And we know that both parties, both sides, are in a severe crisis of human resources these days. And Russia is still trying to avoid mobilization because it will be hugely unpopular. And they are still trying to bring the people who fight Ukrainians for money they are paying, we do know that they pay a lot of money to these people. But yes. I think that sooner or later they will have to start another wave of mobilization. And yes, we'll see it soon.
And the significance of that, Dmitry, is that at the moment it is a special operation. If he starts conscripting people, will he then have to formally declare it to be a war?
Well, it's not a big thing these days, because right. It used to be a must for everybody in media and everywhere to call it as a special military operation. But it was only in the first year. Since that, a lot have changed, and even politicians and even Putin himself and his press officer Dmitry Peskov, they started to call it a war. Because this is a war. This is not a special operation. Well, any state cannot hold like some sort of a special operation for 2.5 years exactly. So yeah, this is it. And this is something new. But again, I don't think that terms do bother Putin or his thugs. He's only, I think he's already worried about his popularity, about his ratings and about the period that he can hold power in Russia.
It looks like Russia are throwing bodies at the problem. The figures are astonishing. 400,000 soldiers fighting in Ukraine. People are calling it this tactic, the meat grinder tactic. In other words, he doesn't mind how many bodies are lost and how many men are lost in this war. It's an act of what? Desperation? Or does it have a consequence? Because this is what we always thought about Russia. It's okay until the mothers of the dead soldiers start to realize. And there must be a lot of bodies going back to Russia now. They're losing extraordinary numbers of people. It's said between 10 and 15 Russians are killed for every Ukrainian. Is that being felt at all in Russia?
Unfortunately, not at all. Because, first of all, Russia is a huge country with a population something around 147 million.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the life of a Russian citizen has never been valuable there. And you know that there is such a like saying or a proverb that is attributed to one of historical figures who said that we do have casualties, but Russian women will bring birth to more children and
yes.
to more soldiers, and I don't think that people do understand that it's the figures are huge and. It's a huge problem for a Russian population already, because it's it can be even compared with some bigger wars in 20th century and
yes.
to COVID pandemic, and it's amazing that people do not pay attention to it. But on the other hand, you know, Russian women and men, they still receive coffins from Ukraine. But they might be angry. They might be depressed and they might be suffering a lot. But it's still not enough to take it to the streets, because they are in grief. But we do not see the connection between grief and protest, and
yes.
It's not something that is obvious, unfortunately. And definitely, from my perspective, Russian elite should understand that they are losing the war and they are losing their wealth and their way of life. And when these two groups of people will be both angry with Vladimir Putin and war, then the situation might change, and then the revolutionary situation might occur, but not earlier.
Does it bother you personally that you have been included in Putin's list of foreign agents?
Yeah, it does. It definitely brought me a lot of uncomfort when that decision was made. It looks like I'm a criminal or a public enemy or something like that. I'm a good guy. Yes. I've never been doing anything bad to my country, to my people, to my compatriots. And it's kind of strange. And I think it's the first time when I realized that that the big brother is watching me.
Yes.
It's staring at me. And, you know, it's like in The Lord of the Rings, that huge red eye is watching closely right into my eyes. I'm happy that I'm not in Russia.
Has that fear of the FSB, of Putin, of all of the apparatus he surrounds himself with and its wickedness, has that increased? And has it increased in particular since the death of Navalny?
Yes, of course. As you mentioned, I live in Lithuania.
Yes.
Lots of Russian dissidents and journalists live here. And I think weeks after the death, after the murder of Alexei Navalny, some thugs attacked his colleague, Leonid Volkov, who's a quite big Russian opposition figure. And he was attacked here in Vilnius. So some thugs broke his arm and attacked him. And I don't think they wanted to kill him. I think they wanted to threaten him precisely. And this is very scary. We do know that the FSB has quite long arms and they can reach us if they want to. Wherever we are, in London, in Lithuania.
Yes.
You remember the case of Litvinenko and of Skripal, the guys who were poisoned in the UK. But on the other hand, actually, it's not something that that is something like new to us. We always knew that FSB and KGB, they operate in Europe. And nothing has changed since the war started.
Let me ask you, Europe is also going to provide more weapons for Ukraine. Ukraine is now on the waiting list to become a member of the European Union. It looks like America is chaotic because of the Trump factor and a move towards isolationism, which may follow if Trump becomes the next president in November. Europe seems determined, Dmitry, to arm itself, to spend more on defense. The Germans, the UK, the French, and the EU as an entity itself also is preparing to stop Putin. That is the declared objective. Because people say if he has a victory in Ukraine, he won't stop. And people, as I'm sure you know, and if you don't, I'll tell you that at a high level in the European Union now and elsewhere, they're talking about this present moment being pre-war. We're in a pre-war moment, and they're comparing it to the 1930s because there are other factors in play. Of course, Israel, Iran, the Middle East, all of that, as well as what's happening in Ukraine. Do you have that sense that if Putin were to win in Ukraine, he would move on?
Definitely. Yes, of course. And it's very funny that you've remembered the 1930s.
Yes.
Because I've been thinking about them recently as well. And you know that there was a silent war. I think it was called like that.
Yes.
Term that when Nazi Germany attacked Czech Republic and Poland, I think Western allies did declare a state of war to Germany, but they did nothing. And so this is something that we witness actually these days. And I do know that, for instance, Czech Republic, they are doing their own program, and they are now in the process of gathering missiles. We do know that German huge military company Rheinmetall is opening their factory in Lithuania, but it will happen in, I think, in the next year, or maybe in a year and a half, or something like that. And Czech Republic would not be able to get all that missiles they are planning to. I don't remember the exact amount, but it's kind of huge. So I think that these countries are getting prepared for the war for themselves, not only to help Ukraine, but also to fight Russia on probably their soil or on their border.
Yeah, I mean, Poland is very hawkish, the Poles.
Definitely.
And they are prepared in their, they're mentally prepared. In Lithuania, Moldova, and countries like that, is there a sense of the danger of Putin winning in Ukraine? We understand, just to put a context on this, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, he is a hard right guy. He believes, for example, that the election in 2020 was stolen from Trump. So he's no liberal and he's no pussycat, but he had seen American intelligence, and that was what persuaded him. It might cost him his job as Speaker of the House of Representatives, but he was the one who got that vote through, which is particularly significant given where he comes from. Is that feeling your feeling, that it isn't just Ukraine? I note that Putin is going to China later.
Planning to, yeah.
And the Chinese have supported him, and he is close to Xi Jinping. So, is that feeling around? Is there fear in Lithuania?
Well, definitely there is fear in Lithuania. It's surrounded by Belarus and Russia. Other neighbors are Poland and Latvia, but Lithuania has Belarus on their east, and on their west there is Russia, and it's kind of very, very scary. And I just wanted to mention that we've been discussing that American aid to Ukraine, but from my perspective, it's not enough. It's it's quite miserable.
Yes,
I'm sorry, but I have to say it.
Yes, no.
It's only like you've mentioned. It's like $60 billion of dollars.
Yes,
but if we take a closer look, $30 billion of them are for the U.S. itself.
Yes, because for their own arms makers. Yes.
Yeah, for their own arms makers, precisely because they did spend some something on Ukrainian needs and for their presence in Europe. So we have only $30 billion remaining, and we know the price of war. So it's it will be enough for Ukraine to keep on fighting Russia till the end of the year. And it's without any counter-offensive operation. So it's like a normal positional war, you know? And I mean, it's definitely not enough. And people here in Lithuania do see it. And well, actually, Lukashenko, who is the Belarusian dictator, he's a bro of Vladimir Putin. And he's saying some very, very strange things recently, that Belarusians have taken down some drones that were fired from Lithuania. They were taken down near Minsk, and that it's not acceptable, and that he knows that the Belarusian opposition was plotting to make a revolution in Belarus and to take power there and to bring NATO to Belarus. Well, it's obviously nonsense. But it sounds like this guy is preparing also for something else. And we do know that people in Lithuania and Lithuanian military forces are aware of this. And they are building new constructions on the borders between Belarus and Russia. And recently, quite big amount of German soldiers had arrived to Lithuania to make its military forces more powerful and more sustainable against the threat from Putin and from Lukashenko.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Now, let me ask you about a story that emerged at the weekend. It's about Timur Ivanov, who is the deputy defense minister, and he's number two to Shoigu, who's the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu. It appears Ivanov is being accused by Putin of corruption, and also that Shoigu, who is very closely linked to Ivanov, is also under some pressure. How dangerous or significant is that, or is it not significant? They can just get two other guys.
Oh, definitely they will take somebody else. Yeah. And it might be actually some sort of a battle between elites, but it's kind of early to make judgments at this point.
Right. Yeah.
But we do know that Timur Ivanov some sort of a guy that loves luxury life.
His wife, I think, likes it, doesn't she?
Yeah, very much. And he himself as well. So, yeah, a huge hedonist. And he's been spending his vacation recently. I don't think that, well, a couple of years ago, let me put it that way, in Courchevel in France, skiing, enjoying that après ski life, chalet, and so on and so on. And he lives in a very Porsche cottage in the very center of Moscow. And he lives a very beautiful life. So I think this is, first of all, some sort of a signal to elites and to elites in the military,
right,
in the defense ministry, and in business and political life. Guys, you are like, you live in a state of war, and it's not a good time for your posh lifestyle. Try to be more modest.
Right. Let me ask you a final question, Dmitry, about the Israel-Hamas conflict. And Israel, backed by the West generally, when you see what Israel has extracted in revenge and what we may see soon in the final ground offensive, that it is truly terrible and the West is supporting Israel, does that change your perception of the West and more importantly, perhaps the perception of Russian people, that the West is no good guy, that the West, when it suits them, can support the kind of killing that we've seen in Gaza over 6 months?
Well, I am almost sure that Russians do not follow these events very much.
Right.
They are too far away, and Russians are depressed with the war and in Ukraine. So it might be too much, actually, for them.
Yes, okay.
So they try to to avoid in any possible ways news from the front line and events in Ukraine and in southern Russian regions. And they try to not to look too closely at the Middle East. I personally do follow these events. And yes, it's very disturbing that the West is showing its support to what Israel was planning to do.
But, yeah, so you, I'm sure you know about the protests in American universities and students and all of that.
Yeah.
Joe Biden may lose the election because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's very hard for Biden and for all Western leaders to make their choice because it might look like that. If they are not supporting Israel, then what? Then are they supporting Hamas? Well, Hamas are definitely a huge evil, one of the biggest evils on the earth. So that means that we gotta support Israel. But hold on a second. Israel is doing atrocities. They are nearly doing a genocide in Gaza.
Yes, so they are.
That is an extremely hard question. And I think that West should not support any of these powers, basically. And West should maybe suggest a third decision to the problem. I don't know. But we see that bureaucracy has taken over United Nations and many other international organizations. So it's basically a huge crisis for the liberal democracy and for the whole Western world. And I don't think that we've witnessed something like that earlier, previously. But from the other hand, crisis is a very good time to make new decisions and to breed new forms, maybe breed new organizations, or to come up with something brand new. So, and well, on the other hand, you know, West is always in a crisis. So, we'll see the near future, I guess. The elections in the US are extremely important to understand the future of our whole planet.
Yes, I think everyone agrees with you, Dmitry, and we're very grateful to you.
Thank you.
For joining us today from Lithuania. Dmitry Ilovsky is a serious journalist. He's also a brave man. He's on the list of Putin's foreign agents. So let's hope Putin doesn't reach Lithuania. Dmitry, thank you very much indeed.
We're grateful to you.
We're grateful to Dmitry, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.